Please rise and join Councilmember Goodrich for the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Calling to order the meeting of June 4th. I'm Mel Hansen, Mayor Pro Tem. Our mayor is in Europe and will be for another 3 to 4 weeks. So, and he's having a good time, I'm sure. That's why no one's heard from him. First item on the agenda is public comment.
Roll call.
First item on the agenda is roll call.
Councilmember Watson?
Here.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler?
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Here.
Okay. Now the first item on the agenda is public comment. It's your opportunity to come to the microphone and address the council. Is there anyone that would like to address the council? There's none signed up, but you certainly are welcome to come forward. Anyone? And this is where our mayor would encourage the students to come up and promise that Mr. Brown will give you extra credit if you come up and speak. No one?
Still no one.
Oh, okay.
Graduation on the line.
Graduation on the line, man.
All right, let's move on to the consent agenda. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all of those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. It's unanimous. And then we do have a guest here this evening, Representative Jason Overstreet. And we welcome you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. And Mayor Pro Tem Hansen said that I have a minute and a half, so I'll try to live up to that. And I'm also going to take the brunt for you guys. I'll take the microphone time and the questions so you can watch how somebody gets beat up here. So, no, thank you very much. Thanks for your patience. It's taken me, I think, probably a month and a half now to finally get here. I've been making the tour around the county and just giving the city councils an update. It's been a very interesting year and a half, two sessions, plus all of the other special sessions. Technically, this was a 60-day special session this year, and it ended with a 23-hour day. So if you can imagine sitting in this room for 23 hours with a few breaks here and there, that's what we did. It was a very long night. We finally, at the end of that 23 hours, which was the sixth special session since 2010, technically, settled on a supplemental budget of $31 billion. It's a bit bigger than our small cities' budgets. That's what this state is dealing with as a supplemental. To put that number into context, we ended the 2009-11 budget at about $28.5 billion. So the state budget in the 11-13 cycle is growing by about $2 billion or 7%, and that's increased tax revenue. The legislature was able to avoid lots of cuts this time. So how did they do that? They did that, and you probably heard about this, the way the state chose to recalculate sales tax dollars that comes in from Ferndale, from Blaine, from Tumas, Nooksack, Everson, Linden, all over the state, and then they hold on to it. Well, it used to be calculated daily, and that is sort of a throwback to an older system, and the bill that was passed allowed it to be calculated monthly. Well, why is that important? Well, because that allowed the state to show a big fat number in the general fund. And that allowed the state legislature to ultimately create and pass the supplemental budget without having to make any real cuts. I say that because we ended technically we settled this budget with roughly a $319 million reserve. Well, sort of. That includes the $238 million of your sales tax revenue that just hasn't been rebated yet, all of the local towns, counties, and cities. So we're technically looking at about an $80 million reserve at this point. The next tax revenue forecast is June 20th, so we'll see if the economy remains flat, if it dives, if it grows a little bit. We'll see. But we're right there on the red line right now. And the only reason, again, we're showing that is because of the change in the way that the sales tax was recalculated. Yes,
Representative,
John.
Representative, and
and Treasurer Peterson, that impact when the city receives its tax money back?
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. It literally is an accounting maneuver. It's an accounting maneuver simply on paper, and there was actually something written into the bill that said if local municipalities lose, then the state general fund is on the hook plus interest. So it's I think that as a way to update an older system of accounting for sales tax dollars, I think it was a very legitimate bill. As a way to balance the budget with money that doesn't rightfully belong to the state but belongs to you folks, I think it was a push. Let's put it that way. There were some saves, and one of them was a criminal justice training dollars, and I spoke with almost all of the police chiefs and the sheriff in the county. And what was being threatened initially down there is one of the cuts was to end that historic agreement to fund the Criminal Justice Training Center and essentially the hiring and training of, or rather the training of officers through the Criminal Justice Training Center in Burien. So that was restored, and we've got lots of happy public safety leaders in the county and around the state. One thing that you folks will be interested in is the liquor excise tax issue. The state decided to keep the excise taxes for 2012. That will come back to the cities again in 2013, but they kept it. Now, there were some other things that were sort of threatened to happen as far as the liquor dollars, but the state ended up holding true to the initiative, and that is a good thing. And the initiative, as it was written, said that the municipalities will continue to receive what they received in the past plus $10 million. So there were lots of variations and iterations of how the municipalities were going to be treated. In the end, the legislature stuck to the initiative language, and that is also a good thing. So as you probably heard of the Senate takeover down there in the 11th hour, and what that really was what we all clamor for, and that's bipartisanship. You had three Senate Democrats cross over and work with the Senate Republicans. Not a perfect process by any means. But ultimately what that allowed the legislature to do was really come up with four fundamental reforms. Small pieces, but I think small pieces to broader bites that will allow the state to head down a road of sustainability. The first one is a constitutional debt limit that will go to the people. It'll be on November's ballot. And what that does is lowers the constitutional debt limit from 9% to 8%. Over time, arriving at 8% by 2034. And there's also some provisions in there that allow a smoothing process as far as how the state handles debt. Because in the good times, if you look at the charts, the debt soars, and in the bad times, it falls again. And the need for that capital infrastructure is always there. So it allows a smoothing process, more predictability, which everybody needs. The second was pension reform, and it affects PERS, TERS, and SERS, and it only affects new hires. And what it really sought to address was the early retirement portion of those programs, and again, just for people who come on after this is enacted into law. And so those people would still be what it did was it affected early retirement after 30 years but before age 65. So if you had 30 years and wanted to retire before age 65, you would take a 5% hit in your retirement before age 65, really trying to narrow that gap of subsidizing those early retirements. And that's about a $1.3 billion savings over 25 years. And that idea originally came from Governor Gregoire, and it was originally a $2.6 billion savings. But again, through that compromise in that special session, it was whittled down, and it's a start. So 1.3 over 25 years, again, will help in that path towards budget sustainability at the state level. And probably one of the bigger ones, and certainly news even around the country, and that's the four-year balanced budget bill that was passed. Ideally, you would want that sent to the voters in the form of a constitutional amendment. Right now, it passes statute, which means, of course, it can change with a simple majority vote. But what that does is it's sort of the same thing that the debt limit tries to do in one sense, and that is stop the high highs and the low lows. Because whether we're talking to school districts or city councils like yourselves, it's this constant uncertainty. For people who are running police departments, fire departments, school districts, it's you guys, please settle on a budget. Please give us some predictability so that we can manage, because everything trickles down and then you guys have to react. So what it does is it not only takes a two-year lookout, but it ultimately takes a four-year lookout. And again, in an attempt to say, look, when we pass this budget, whether it's the 9/11 or the 11/13, 13/15, is it sustainable not just right in front of our feet, but is it sustainable 2 and 4 years out? Now, that's anybody will tell you, especially in uncertain economic times, that that's a difficult thing to do. But trying to do that and trying to smooth that is a good thing. And then there was a bill that addressed teacher health care reform, and it was really aimed at driving down costs not only in the state, but to sort of level the playing field between full-time employees and part-time school employees. It sought to shed some light on where that money that the state sends to the local districts for health care benefits goes. And that's part of a broader conversation. Unfortunately, I couldn't support that one because, in the end, that was a huge, I thought, unfunded mandate on the school districts at a time when, just like we're talking about, they're facing all of the uncertainty and having to make their own reductions. So I think the intent is good, and I think it's sort of a work in progress, and we'll see where it goes starting next year. Hopefully that's when the legislature reconvenes, is January of next year, not any time sooner, but we'll see based on that. On that revenue forecast. And Mayor Pro Tem, I think I blew my minute and a half, but I'm certainly open for any questions that you guys may have.
Mr. Wilson.
Jason, I see we went to new councilman training down at AWC, yourself, Gary, and me, back when you were Blaine Council. Person.
Oh, okay.
I had several questions. I'm going to limit it to one, though. The sales tax redistribution point of deliveries.
Yes.
Any chance that that's going to go away?
You know what? There was talk of that late in the game, and it might have even been late at night, Councilmember Olson. And so I don't have a definitive answer for you, but yeah, there are multiple issues with that. Working for some, not working for others, and I think we're definitely going to come around and address that again. But I can follow up with you on that and get you better information.
It'd be great because we have a lot of businesses here. Furniture,
yep.
Warehousing, and all that we've managed to get here, and then all of a sudden that comes.
Yep.
And I don't see where you go to Fix Samuels. You buy your furniture, you pay for it there, but yet it's delivered to Bellingham, and they get the tax. That's absolutely bizarre.
And it also creates a really interesting situation for the businesses too, that have to try to maintain all of these different jurisdictions in their taxation, and where does this go, and how do I not break the law, type of a thing. So. That conversation, I do remember that. It wasn't in the form. I don't remember seeing that in the form of a bill or anything definitive. So I can definitely follow up on that with you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Councilmember Ingram,
Well, the only thing I'd like to see somehow addressed at the state level is the fact that for city of the population of Ferndale, we get back fewer of the gas tax dollars proportionately than anybody else in the entire state. And if you look at our roads and our infrastructure here, we could sure use our fair share of that gas tax money. And it's very annoying to us as a city to realize that we're paying that gas tax here, but Seattle and Olympia are getting the benefits from it. And we're not getting it.
And you are not alone. That's a huge issue, especially with the influx of Canadians that we see here. I mean, we are propping up, by and large, that gas tax, and you're right, and that's incumbent upon us to try to get those dollars back here in the form of not just new projects but maintenance. I absolutely agree with you.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Jason, were there any order issues dealt with? Any complaint at all?
Not. There was the only thing that I remember seeing, and again, I think that was late in the regular session, was the Beyond the Border. It was a resolution to Congress, I believe, to try to continue working with. Yes, it was sort of a memorial to Congress. There's always the border corridor transportation dollars that you don't necessarily see in the form of a bill, but I did have conversations down there about making sure that those dollars don't drift south. To the Seattle King County metro area, right, which has the political pull to pull stuff like that off, to keep that money within its mileage constraints, and not even just within the mileage constraints, which I think is, well, I'm not going to throw a number out there. It actually goes quite a ways, probably too far, but keep it at the border. Keep it at the border and certainly within Whatcom and the tip of Skagit County. So, yep.
Anybody else? Okay.
Thank you
very much for coming.
Thank you for having me. And if you folks have any questions, let me know, and I will definitely follow up with you on that question. So have a great meeting. Thanks.
Thank you. And unless you really want to stick around and hear everything we have to do today, we will excuse you for the rest of the meeting.
Thank you. It's going to be such a scintillating.
Next item on the agenda is the six-year transportation improvement program. We do need to pass this, I believe, sometime in July, but Janice is going to go through it. But we've seen this in the Public Works Committee at least two meetings, maybe three meetings now, and we've made some adjustments, and Janice is going to tell you where we are.
Good evening. I'm Janice Marlega, Public Works Director, and each year of the city we are required to review and update our six-year TIP per state law. And so we've already reviewed this, our six-year TIP in our committees probably three or four times. In addition, we held a public open house on September 23rd to collect public input and comments. We received just one comment, and that was on the Thornton Road project. And we were told, yes, that's a good project. That street needs to be fixed. And Thornton Road does happen to be our number one project. Thornton Road between Marine and Vista is our number one project on our six-year TIP right now. So I'll just point out, you know, instead of going line through line on this, I'll just point out some of the changes that were made, that have been made to our six-year TIP so far. And this is just discussion only. We will have a public hearing on June 18th at our next city council meeting to adopt this six-year TIP. On our previous TIP, the Main Street project, Douglas to Church, was on there, and since that work will be completed this summer, we've taken it off the current plan. We moved Thornton Road, Marine to Vista, up to number one. It was, Church was number two, so we just flip-flopped those two projects. And then we changed the name of our Thornton Overpass to Thornton Railroad Overcrossing with connector to Second Avenue Roundabout. Make it a little bit clearer on which project we're talking about. And then also under our pavement rehab program, item number six, what I'm doing now is listing the TBD project list on there on the right-hand side under the project description, since those projects will fall under this program. We're still in the process of updating some of the cost estimates, so we'll probably be making some minor adjustments to this between now and our public hearing, but we'll be posting updates to the website. And we'll have like the final proposed six-year TIP available to City Council prior to the hearing. Any questions, comments on the six-year TIP?
Just so that I believe all of the council knows this, but I know at least one council member is new. The six-year TIP is passed every year. It's not adopt it now and then. 6 years from now, review it again. We review this annually and pass it in July. So things that are not likely to happen in 6 years could be dropped. There is always the opportunity to add things next year because things change. So questions of Janice. Paul.
Yeah, just one thing to throw out, Janice, real quick. We were at the Finance and Admin Committee meeting, and we're discussing several little things, and then the subject came up about the little Larson house there at Washington and Maine, and what we could do with it if we ever acquired it. Greg threw out one of his normal ideas that's why we call him this, but about we buy that and put a roundabout in to realign all those intersections, and I thought that was a pretty darn good idea, personally. I mean, it's going to be years down the road before we get that property, if we ever do, but it would give us a way to realign all those intersections probably cheaper than any other way we could do it.
Yeah, and we do have on here item four, Washington and Vista intersection improvements. So we're showing a project here. And so we do have it included. And then one other thing that we added this year was under item three, where it has miscellaneous traffic control, was to look into adding maybe a right turn lane at that, just kind of as a temporary solution.
There was a miscommunication there. Weren't you talking about Maine and Maine and Washington?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about excuse me. Oh,
no.
Yeah, okay.
No. I was talking about Maine and Lego and Washington.
Oh, okay. The other, all right, sorry.
The other end.
Oh, yeah, so that either we could include some, like, money for a study to take a look at that, or maybe that's in the committee. We can talk about adding that as another line item.
Yeah, because it's on here as Lego Avenue. But
that's just for the street.
That's just for the street.
It's it's probably a number of years out.
Oh, yeah.
Because essentially we've told Mrs. Larson that we won't condemn the house or attempt to take possession of the house in any way until she passes on. But we've also asked the family to give us sort of a right of first refusal, although it's not official. And so her mother lived to be well over 100.
There you go.
Do the math.
Yeah, we could add that. Wife. We could add that here just as a placeholder, though, too, and try to
something we can chat about in committee.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Well, good, Janice. You did a great job.
Well, in the committee, committee helped out a lot.
The council had very few questions. I had threatened them at the beginning that we can't have a lot of questions tonight because we want to get done early. Okay.
No, that's what I've been instructed.
We're going to now adjourn this meeting, and before the students all jump up and tear out of here, that's because this council wears two hats. They actually wear several hats, but we have two official bodies sitting here. One is the Ferndale City Council. The other is the Ferndale Transportation District, and we are going to now adjourn the city council meeting and call to order the Transportation Benefit District meeting. Nothing's going to change. Same people are on both groups, but officially we are now in the Transportation Benefit District. And I guess, again, Janice, you were up.
Okay. And then, you know, so along with our review of the six-year TIF, we're also taking a look at our TBD, this original project list. And since we haven't actually started collecting any sales tax revenue yet, and since our number one project on this list is Thornton Road, which matches with our six-year TIF and staff, we're recommending that this list just stay, remain as is, and that we do not make any changes on it this year. But then, you know, next year we'll be taking another look at it.
Do you need action on that?
No action, just discussion.
Okay.
And no motion.
I had Council Member Musler then.
I was going to make a motion, but
okay. Brent?
I just had a question for our treasurer. Looking at the sales tax revenues that are coming in, is this still the $150,000-$300,000 still kind of a viable number based off of what we're seeing so far coming in?
Yes, $300,000 annually. It's a conservative number. It could be more than that by 10%, by up to 10% more than $300,000. That's kind of status quo. Now, things may change if we get major retail in town, but that won't, you know, hit for a year and a half or 2 years.
I was just looking at basically the first, you know, kind of part of the year here, how we're doing.
Yeah, we're running about $50,000 ahead on sales tax for 5 months. So if you project that out, we'll be doing very well.
Okay.
Starting to get back to the 2008 kind of time.
Councilmember Watson.
My question was for the treasurer as well. Are we still assuming no funding available in 2012? Is that just because we won't get it till September? Or?
Money starts rolling in about $25,000 a month at the end of September of this year.
At the end of September. So.
Yeah. Goes into effect July 1st. Hopefully everybody starts charging the higher sales tax. There's a two-month lag in reporting getting money to us.
Okay.
July, it's turned in. So we'll get it at the end of the
Councilmember Musler and Ingram.
I just want to confirm with City Clerk Taylor that we don't need a motion. No, there's a recommendation for a motion tonight.
That was an act. We are going to hold off until the next meeting and consider everything transportation related to the next meeting.
Councilmember Ingram.
For our Treasurer Mark, is there a way that we could communicate to all the businesses within Ferndale?
Our intent is to send out a notice to all business license owners. Have a current business license with that reminder.
Okay.
It's a lead story in the Bellingham Herald for tomorrow. It's up on the web already. Councilmember Olson, and then
Mark, anybody who's got a UBI number, we just got letters from the state saying that it's what's effective.
Yes, I saw the one the city of Ferndale gets because we get to pay taxes on our water sewer revenue. So I got that same notice. It's going up. Well, it's not going up for water sewer in particular, but the sales and use taxes.
Yeah, just during the choir. As a business owner, a small one, I got a notice from the state, too.
Yeah. So.
Any further questions regarding the Transportation Benefit District? Seeing none, I'm going to close the meeting of the Transportation Benefit District and call the City Council meeting that has been adjourned back into order. Now we're down to item F, the Utility Capital Improvement Programs. Again, discussion only this evening.
So each year we go through the six-year TIP update, and then along with that we also take this opportunity to look at all of our utility CIPs, and then what we end up with, we have a booklet with our six-year TIP and then all of our utility CIPs, so it makes it very convenient, and then this is what we use throughout the year, you know, for planning purposes. And so our first CIP is on for storm, and I'm going to have Wendy LaRocque, our stormwater manager, just give you a brief update on the changes to the plan that are being proposed this year.
Hello. So I think everybody received a copy of the draft CIP for the stormwater program, and basically the only new projects that we have on there Well, Thornton Road project moved up, but the only actually new additions would be the Shell Creek retrofit study, which that was a suggestion from the Department of Fish and Wildlife that we go and look up at all of the different areas on Shell Creek that have culverts and areas that aren't fish friendly, and propose designs to eventually convert them into fish friendly facilities. So I'm kind of looking around for grant money for that one right now. See, the Shell Creek or the Shell Marsh Regional Stormwater Facility data update. If you look down a little bit, there's the Regional Stormwater Facility, which we did a study for a couple years back. And so the update would be to look at the water monitoring data that we've been collecting the past 2 years that was suggested we gather through the study, and kind of see where we're at with that and see if the proposed pond is still a good idea in that location. And the final new project is the Ferndale levee rehabilitation, 30% design. We had Reichart and Eby look at just what it would cost to look at the area south of the PUD intake and decide what the best design would be there, so we could get rid of the super sacks and kind of do a final structure. And that's the last section of the levee that isn't really where we want it to be. Any questions on those or any of the other projects?
Wendy, what does exactly strongly suggested mean? Does that mean they'd like to see it? There's a law? Or it sounds like arm twisting with nothing behind it, or they would have already made us do it.
Yeah, I don't know that there's anything they can do when we don't have projects that are, you know, happening at those sections. But like on the Main Street project, we're having to put in a fish-friendly culvert at that time. So as development happens, right?
Okay.
So at this time, I'm not aware that there's any mandates. But.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea how many culverts we're talking about for that?
There's about 4 or 5 crossings right now.
Anything else for Wendy? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Janice?
The next one is on our sewer CIP. We recall that the City Council adopted this plan, and then we needed to submit it to the DOE for review and their approval. And so we've been kind of going back and forth with the DOE, and they would not approve our plan until we changed our planning year on our plant upgrade. So they insisted that it be moved to 2013. So we've made that change, and so they'll go ahead and they'll finally sign off on our plan. Now, on the planning, though, once we start the planning process, we may, you know, we'll be collecting information, and we may find out that, you know, a plant upgrade, I think we're showing that in 2018, that may not be necessary at that time. But we need to start the planning process, collect some information, and, you know, and take a really good look at that to determine kind of where are we at. Provide that information to DOE and then be communicating with them and then have them kind of reevaluate, you know, their stand on this 2013. But we need to start the process. So that's probably the biggest change that we're going to make to our sewer CIP this year is move that, start the planning process on the plant upgrade to 2013.
Can you explain to me the change to 2013? Did what that they would now deal with? I don't understand.
Okay,
that.
On our original plan, we had to start the planning process in 2016, and so we submitted that plan to DOE. They reviewed it and they took a look at the data, and their interpretation was you need to start planning now. So we want you to change that, where you start the planning process, to 2013. So we were thinking we had, you know, maybe three more years before we even need to start looking at it.
Oh, how much money will that cost?
On our planning, I mean, it's basically we're updating a portion of our comp plan. I think we're probably talking about like about $200,000.
Next year?
To start the process. So it's not going to be, that would not be spent all in 2013. Yeah, because you'd spread it out over a couple of years. Yes, we're not talking about this huge effort over, I mean, it's going to be spread out.
But you're still going to have to spend more next year than you were planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were thinking we had just had a little bit more time.
Anything else on sewer? Let us hear from water.
Okay, and
on water.
On water. Water system plan, and we didn't spend a lot of time this year updating our plan because we've been pretty focused on our well water supply project. But we did go through and we've added a couple projects, and so you will get an updated CIP. I think some of them are not shown up probably on the copies that you have right now. And what we need to do is move forward on a study, just identifying the need and location of an additional water storage tank. Possibly on the east side of the Nooksack River. So this is something that has been on the city's on their water system plan, but we just haven't moved forward on it, and we just need to kind of start the study and just start taking a look. A lot of that's going to depend on where growth occurs and trying to kind of anticipate where the need might be. And so we're going to start taking a look at that in 2013. And then also there's some pump equipment on Church Road and Reservoir 1 that we need to take a look at upgrading. So there's a couple projects that are probably not included on the list that you have there.
That's why we're good.
The new tank you're talking about is not the tanks that are referred to here on 17A and 17B?
Those are the tanks, but what I'm proposing is that we do a study just to take a look at that, rather than, because I think on there they identify the location, and I think that, you know, is based on growth occurring in that area more rapidly than other places in the city. And I think we need to take a look at that rather than just say that's our project. We need more information before that determination is made.
On a side note, Janice, our favorite water softener seller is still at it with his claims of we're 450 out of 500 on the hardness scale. Is that, can you, I mean, I get calls on that, on this hardness stuff, or on the system in general.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any truth, are we pushing the limit on hardness?
No, that's not correct at all. And so I thought that after we had contacted them, that was going to be kind of the end of it.
So give me his latest ad.
Oh, okay. So is he actually have another flyer that he's?
Yeah, he has in the Valpak coupon thing again.
Okay.
He has the city of Ferndale at 450, which is pushing the 500 limit.
Mm-hmm.
And still basically attacking our system.
Yeah, and I don't know when he submitted that information.
It was delivered a couple of days ago.
Okay, all right. So if you could, maybe I might have
to drop it off.
Okay, all right, and then I'll address it.
Any other questions, Janice? Okay, thank you, Janice. That brings us down to
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Just a comment.
Sure.
Sorry. Janice and I, we're going to meet and look at the capital expenditures as outlined here on these latest updates for water, sewer, storm, and look to see if there's cash, enough cash to finance those capital expenditures. It's thinking it's a bit of a challenge. We've recently given quite a few discounts for residential, different types of residential on connection fees, multifamily, distance and density from the plant, as well as PUD, smaller lots. And in some cases, people are taking advantage of delaying payment. So, and the growth assumption is a key thing, too, whether we'll have 1% growth in customers every year, 2% or 3% growth in customers every year. So part of the rate study we'll do this fall, I've started it, is looking at balancing that. I'll say at this point it's a challenge to meet the schedule of these capital improvements.
Councilmember Olson.
Greg, I see that isn't up for discussion until July 16th. Is there any way we can bump that up?
Yeah, the hope was
I need more time to.
As far as that report on the payment deferral and discount program, yeah, we can certainly bring that forward. Yeah, as Mark mentioned, he's working on the rate study, so that probably is not quite ready for prime time. But we can certainly move this up.
In particular, I was talking because he was addressing the discounts.
Exactly. And I know our community development department has been looking into those discounts and putting together some information. So yeah, that's not a problem at all.
Along that line, before a reasonable rate study can be done, Mark needs to know if we're going to adjust the discounts one way or the other, because it will definitely mm-hmm. affect what the rates are going to be. I know in the Public Works Committee this last week, when this was discussed, there was some comment, let's put it that way, if you read the minutes of the committee, some comment regarding perhaps we were too aggressive with some of those discounts. Perhaps not, but at least we should take a look at it.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Yes.
Quick clarification on the July 16th meeting, Councilman Olson, that report on feed payment deferral and discount program, for history, that was last year the council approved a one-year sunsetted fee deferral for the first half, second half of certain fees. That report is legally required for the ordinance, so that's why it's that meeting, is because it's 1 year from the time when it was approved.
So that we're talking about two different things?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I think we still could.
I think we could do the report.
We can still do it. Yeah. I think they are enough interrelatedness to them that we could certainly
hold those together. But if you want to take action on the
program, that would be later,
you probably want to wait until the July 16th meeting.
Yeah, I was more concerned about the discounts.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Janice. The capital projects updates. Is that going to be Katie? No. I wait till it's done to change it. Yeah, you're changing yours now. That's cheating. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you. So we'll talk about Church Road first, just because alphabetically that's how it works out. So
okay, I'm going to stop you. I spoke with Sam before this. I'm just going to pass the gavel and sit back and not actually leave the room, since I know the council's not going to make a decision, and probably it may be a couple of questions, unless you have a burning desire to have me out of here. Just for that, I'm going to run the meeting.
Raise this for everyone.
Where are we getting
thank you.
To explain to students, I own property on Church Road. Therefore, I have to not participate in any discussions or votes or any of that sort of thing regarding the Sturt Road project. So typically, I will leave the room if there's going to be a decision made. There will be no decisions made this evening. Therefore, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy.
Great. Please come in. Thank you. So we're making slow but steady process in obtaining right-of-way for Church Road. Since the last time I provided an update, we've had a couple more property owners sign. We are getting down to the point now where we need to start looking ahead and doing some things to ensure that we're able to continue to move forward if it becomes necessary. At the next council meeting, we'll be bringing forward a eminent domain ordinance to you folks to consider. So other than that, like I said, we're making slow but steady progress. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Any questions related to church? Come back.
I do.
And Mr. Destin. Oh, go away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Any update on getting the extension for funding?
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, we got word today that we did get an extension. So.
Anyone else have any church-related questions?
Go ahead, Katie.
Okay. Next on the list is Main Street. It's a little bit more exciting. So right now we've got the utility companies are out there doing their work. PSE has been relocating utility poles. Their work is ongoing, slow but steady progress again. Once they're done, then Comcast will be able to move their utilities as well. They're all on the same pole, and then BlackRock. Frontier Communications will be out on site tomorrow, and they will start relocating some of their facilities. They're located on the north side of the road. Most of the utility companies are starting on the east side and working their way west. Frontier is starting on the west side and working their way east. So PSE will probably be wrapped up in the next couple of weeks. 2 to 3, and that's conservatively speaking. Frontier will take probably 2 to 3 weeks to get all their underground stuff, and then they have to run cable and do about 3 weeks worth of splicing. So it's a lot of work. As far as construction goes, we had our pre-construction meeting last week. The contractor is planning on mobilizing in on the 11th with a real start date of the 19th. They'll be hitting things fast and hard. So at the pre-construction meeting, we're able to talk over their schedule and how they're going to approach the work. And what the contractor will be doing is basically breaking the road, the Main Street portion, up into about 3 sections of about 1,000 feet apiece. So they'll start on the east end at Douglas, and the first phase of that will be working between Douglas Road and the creek crossing, follow up with installing that culvert in late July, and then once that's done, what they're going to do is it's a little bit of a different approach. They're going to get that 1,000 feet, basically, you know, all the underground utilities, water, sewer, storm, any of that work, their road based in, curb gutter, sidewalk, and everything but the final lift of asphalt, and then move on to the next section, which is really good because there's not going to be 3,000 feet of gravel road for till the end of the year. The other thing, they're going to have multiple crews on the site, so early on they'll start that 36-inch conveyance pipe that'll run down to the pond. So they'll start that about mid-June as well, and then with a pond start date of around mid-August. That's about what I know for that.
Yes, ma'am.
Just a quick question. The communications with the people who live there, is that our job to let them know when they're going to have a hard time getting to their driveway or what it's going to be like, or is that the construction company?
It's a joint effort. We have contract provisions where, you know, the notification requirements, depending on if it's a road closure or driveway closure or utility interruption, the contractor is required to notify the residents. We try to approach that collectively, and, you know, we follow up with those notices, even if we'll provide door hangers to help the contractor to be able to provide notification, and then we follow up with direct mailings and information on our website and that sort of thing. So,
if council gets complaints from people that they weren't told in a timely fashion, do we just forward those to you to let you know that it's happening?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have they selected where they're going to have their laydown yard?
I believe so. They need to get approval from that property owner. But there's a piece of property on the south side of Main Street across
in
Hendrickson.
Yeah, okay. Because that was, to me, that was like that's the logical spot for it.
It's been used as a laydown yard several times in the past. So.
Plus the owner's in the construction business, so Filippini.
Yeah.
But he knows.
Any other questions of Katie on this project? Is that... Do you have any others?
The only other thing that's going on is the police station, and Faber Brothers is working to do the site work. Tentatively speaking, unless it pours down rain that day, we're scheduled to pave on the 11th. And so they've been installing curb gutter, sidewalk.
Crossing.
What's that?
Crossing.
Yeah, they poured some colored concrete today. So... making steady forward progress on the site portion.
I probably wasn't supposed to do it, but Sunday, since there are no barricades, I went ahead and drove on in. And
oh, you, those are rocks.
Yeah, you
that
can
were
drive all the way. Mine were the tire marks. You have to be careful. I would advise a four-wheel drive or something along that line. But I wouldn't advise doing it on a work day, but maybe this weekend, unless you're going to cross fresh concrete, right? But it's cool, but to see that where they've got all the curbs and gutters in, and to know that that's all going to be asphalt, would be going to have a very nice looking parking area, accessible from both sides.
Yep.
Anything else? Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Mayor reports. The only thing that I'm going to bring up this evening is, as you can see, especially next meeting, there will probably be a need to have an assistant mayor pro tem, because I will need to actually leave the room as you're speaking about taking action. So I'm going to call for nominations, or however you would like to handle it, Council.
She did a great job. I'll second that.
Okay. Are there any other nominations?
She gave us raises.
Seeing none, I would I will declare as the mayor pro tem that Kathy Watson has been elected.
Pro tem?
Yeah, she's the mayor pro tem. Pro tem.
I look good on your resume.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have in terms of the mayor reports, council reports. Other council members, yes. Paul?
Well, everybody's invited to the Heritage Society swap meet this Saturday and Sunday. Mel and I and Kathy and a whole bunch of other people will be in there cooking hot dogs, cheeseburgers, whatever.
That's
breakfast sandwiches.
Where?
It's going to be at Pioneer Park.
Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday, Pioneer Park.
8 to 5 on Saturday and 9 to 3 on Sunday.
What's the weather report, Mel?
Rain.
It's June. It's going to rain.
Last year it rained, so... I'm assuming it'll rain. That's why we're setting up a tent.
I do.
Okay.
The Community Resource Center has received a $12,000 grant from the Lummi Business Council to use as they see fit.
Awesome.
The new director got that, so that's one of the advantages of having a director working the grant system.
Mm-hmm. That's
real
money. Is there anything else for the good of the order before we adjourn this meeting and adjourn to executive session? Yes, Councilmember Zimmerman.
You know, right now we're with the projects, Katie, the salmon culvert on Main Street. You said there's a few spots in between there. Have we been in touch with the Nooksack Salmon Enhancement Group? It just seems like if we're mobilizing stuff and we should have some sort of strategy, and it's salmon season coming up and all those things. But, you know, just like this, we have a person go out and find $12,000. If we kind of make a priority and and we give Wendy a little bit of incentive, maybe she might be able to go out there and find something to do those other couple of downstream projects that we need for the town.
I can't speak for Wendy. I know that NSEA has been notified that the Main Street project is happening. They've got an enhancement area along Shell Creek, very near to where our pond is going, so I'm aware of that. I don't know. Maybe Janice would have more insight on
There's
that.
There's a spot right at Douglas as it goes out right by our water well, and then the other one on the other side of Douglas as you between Douglas and Main, and it's you come down that. There's an alleyway or a driveway by his apartments, and there's a huge drop. But there's just, I'm just so impressed with the Nooksack Salmon group. I mean, they're an army, and if they have a little bit of help and a little bit of money, I mean, they can do miraculous stuff.
Anything else?
Just a comment on that. Yeah, so I know that Wendy has contacted a number of different agencies regarding funding, so she has done that.
Correct.
One of the contacts is with the Lummies. And so far, she hasn't been able to find any available funding, but if it's out there, Wendy will find it. Yeah. She's pretty good on that.
At the end of this meeting, we will sign all of the students' reports. The official council meeting is over. I'd like to read to you what's going to happen next. Pursuant to RCW 42.30.110I, we will now enter executive session to discuss ongoing litigation with legal counsel. He's not here yet. This session will last approximately 15 minutes. The session is for information purposes only, and no action will be taken upon reentering regular session. So I'm going to call the executive session into session at 7:05. This meeting is, sign their stuff now. This meeting is adjourned. Or recess, not adjourned. Meeting back open.
Move to adjourn.
Adjourning. Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. We're out of here.